Good morning, Open Door family. Let's start off with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for this time, Lord. Lord, I pray that whatever is heard, whatever is said, would be you and you alone, Lord. Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this family. I thank you for this building where we can just come and freely express our love for you. Freely express your grace, your mercy, your peace that you have given each one of us. And Lord, I lift this time up to you and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we're going to be jumping out of Ephesians and jumping into 2 Corinthians. We're going to be staying on track with the Connected and Needed series, but we're going to be looking at another Paul's writings to the church in Corinth. And everything in to the church of Corinth, we got to see through a lens. And that lens is the church of Corinth is not connected. The church in Corinth is not feeling needed. And they're running away from the Lord. And so when they have communion in the building, they're getting drunk. They're using the building for things that it wasn't meant for. And so Paul is going to them and he's pleading with them. And he's saying, remember who you are. Remember what Christ did for you. And stop living in your old flesh. And we see him bring this up to the church in Ephesus. And so in Ephesians, we see, in Ephesians 4, we see that however is not the way of life. You learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regards to your former ways of life to put off the old flesh, which is corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And what he's telling the church in Ephesus is that you have this old flesh, but you have this new flesh as well, and Christ has made you completely new, so start acting like it. And I love sermon illustrations. I'm a youth pastor, so of course I love sermon illustrations. And so today, for our sermon illustration, we have the old flesh. And the funny thing about the old flesh is, and the funny thing about this sermon illustration, is that I had an old flesh. It was a white robe. It was cute. It was nice. It was a woman small, so it didn't really fit me that well, but that was to illustrate that it shouldn't fit, yeah. And the old flesh is to be represented that it is dead. And so that's why this has score marks in it. It's spray-painted flesh across it. But my old sermon illustration, I thought, I gotta make this thing stinky. So I threw a bunch of bleach on it, and I threw a bunch of coffee on it, and I burned it. And then I thought, y'all can't smell it, but I gotta put this thing on 3 sermons this weekend. So we're stuck with this pretty pink robe that illustrates the flesh. And what Paul is trying to illustrate to the church in Corinth is that that's who you were. This is who you were. You would run over to this flesh, and you had it on you, and you said, I could do everything through me and me alone. And what Jesus says is, no, I killed you. I separated from you from this. This is dead, and I made you alive in me alone. But we run back to that time after time after time again. And we run back to it, and we say, don't I look so cute? Don't I look so pretty? I look so beautiful. The world loves me. And Christ said, I have separated you from this. This is death. And yet you run back to it and try to cloak yourself and try to bundle yourself up in this ugly pink robe. And you go out in the world and you think you look so good, but I made you completely new. Jumping into 2 Corinthians chapter 13, we see, if you were out of our minds, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right minds, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died in them and was raised again. And he starts off this chapter to the church in Corinth and saying, this sounds crazy. If we were out of our minds, as some say, it is for God. And so what we're going to go through today and what we're going to talk about today sounds crazy to the world. Y'all are crazy. Congratulations. You're crazy because you're here on a Sunday morning, not back at home. When it comes football season, maybe less people will be here on Sunday morning. But you're crazy because you represent him and him alone. And the one the world says to put back on this old flesh and that you can do it, you can lace your boots up and you can do it, we say, no, Christ can do it in and through me. We say, no, Christ has got us. But we so often run back to this, and what Paul is saying to the church in Corinth is that you have died, and to live is Christ, so start acting like it. Start acting like that is death. Start acting like you are a new creation, that you were founded in Christ alone, that you were in the heavenly places, in Jesus Christ, at the right hand of God. And that's what he's trying to communicate to the church in Ephesus. Chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, and the old is gone, and the new has come. In Christ Jesus, you are a new creation. You're a brand new creation. That is dead. Christ went to the grave to bury this old self so that when he was resurrected, that you would be there with him in newness of life. And we're going to talk a lot about our responsibility. And our responsibility is to focus our eyes on Jesus and Jesus alone. Our responsibility is to rely on him and him alone. It starts off with that when it comes into belief. What do we say? How can I have this? Faith in Jesus and Jesus alone. Reliance in Jesus and Jesus alone. And yet we know that. We know that we have been separated from this, but then that's when we think we need to go start doing the good things. That's when we start thinking, okay, I need to put my former flesh back on and I need to do X, Y, and Z. And Christ says, no, I have made you completely new, so start acting like it. You are a completely new creation, so start acting like it. Keep your eyes focused on me and me alone. Allow me to do it. Why do you keep on running back to this old, disgusting man? Why do you run back to that? You are a completely new creation. Galatians states, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcised nor uncircumcised means anything. What counts is the new creation. That's what counts. Not donating millions and millions of dollars to charity. Not donating your time to this or that. But knowing that you are a new creation and allowing the Lord to live in and through that. With being a new creation comes a lot of other new things. It comes with a lot of different things that the Lord has given us. And we see here that a new creation comes with a new lens. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, we see, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. But Pastor Cecil, I got bills to pay. I got family to feed. I got stuff I gotta get done. You're telling me that I shouldn't do that? You're telling me that I shouldn't look through that way? You're telling me that I shouldn't provide for my family? No. The Lord calls us to pay our mortgage, mow our lawns, to do those things. But it's when we run back to this old flesh and we say, we can do it, that I got it. I can provide for my family. I can mow my lawn. That Christ says, no, I've killed you off from that old former self and I made you alive in me alone. So focus your eyes on me and allow me to provide in and through you. I have given you a new complete lens. The lens which you once looked at me through, the lens of which you once looked at me and killed me through, I have made you new in that. I have provided you a completely new lens. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. He's got us. And he's given us a brand new lens that we can see this world through, that we can experience life through, that we can see love, we can see grace, we can see hope, because that's only through him that we can see those things. It's only through him that we see the grace of this building. It's only through our lens that we come into this building, we see our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we love them. And we love to worship next to them, and we love to sit next to them. Where the world tells us, no, you're a small town kid from Philomath, Oregon. You do not belong in Wisconsin. That's what the world tells us. And the Lord says, no, I've given you a lens, and your lens is me and me alone. And so trust me, because we can connect in this building because of our common love for Christ and Christ alone. And that's what unites. That's what connects. Not that I'm from Oregon, y'all are from Wisconsin. Not that we're all Americans, but Christ and Christ alone. We also see in this passage, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. We have our new creation with a new ministry. Our ministry isn't to please ourselves. Our ministry isn't to make us lots and lots and lots of money. Our ministry is the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of Christ and Christ alone. Well, could the Lord provide those financial gains? Could the Lord provide worldly things? Absolutely. But our ministry first and foremost is Christ and the reconciliation of Christ and the ministry that he gives us through that. That's our ministry. Our ministry is this, y'all. We so often look up here at Pastor Sid or Pastor Nate or me this Sunday, and we say, no, that's y'all's ministry. No, this is our ministry. I have the privilege to get up here and talk to y'all, but you have the privilege to sit around your family members. You have the privilege of to connect with the Lord. My father gave me an illustration that the hose gets the water first. And in this illustration, I'm the hose. I'm presenting this message to y'all. The same message I'm presenting to you guys today is the same message the Lord has given me all week. I just get the honor of presenting it to y'all. In this ministry, it takes different parts. This ministry is the sound crew, is this crew, is that crew. And so we go, okay, Lord, I don't know where I find in this ministry because I can't public speak, because I can't, you know, I don't like kids. Third and fourth graders irritate me, Lord. Don't tell me I'm supposed to go into that ministry. And what the Lord says is, no, keep your eyes on me and I will present the ministry for you. I will give you the ministry. If that's as simple as this or that, there's so many things that make this family unit go be able to operate. And it might not even be here. It might be praying at home for your individuals that are in this congregation or for family members or for sending emails to encourage. But you have to keep your eyes on the Lord and the Lord alone. I want to come up here and share with all you guys that your ministry is to join the youth. But I sadly can't. Because we aren't all guided to go serve in the youth ministry. We aren't all guided to go serve in the adult Bible fellowship ministry. But he's all given us, every single one of us, a different ministry. Every single one of us. And no is greater or lesser than the other. It's just different. Going on, we see a new creation with a new freedom. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Y'all, we have been set free from this. This is no longer who we are. We do not put this cloak back on and go about the world saying, don't I look so good? He has made us free from this flesh. The problem with us, the problem with the flesh is that we look so good. Of course, I'm in a pink robe right now, so y'all are like, you look like a fool. But we think it looks so good, and that's what it is, because this is death. This is death that we are putting back on. And we walk around this world and say, I got it, I got it, I got it. But yet he has made us free from it. He has cut us off. He has put this to death. And he says, start acting like it, church in Corinth. And he's saying, start acting like it, church in Port Washington, Wisconsin. And how do you do that? Will you recognize that that is dead, that this is the old man? We have been made new in Christ and Christ alone. And it is him who lives in and through us, in him alone. But we say it's so hard. You're right. It is. It's impossible when you're trying to do it. But he's already done it for you. There is nothing that you have to do to gain this, to gain the separation. Faith and faith alone, and Christ alone, period. There's no good works. There's no special ritual. There's no donating to this congregation. It is through Christ and Christ alone, through reliance and faith alone. Gives us a whole new freedom, a whole new lens, a whole new ministry, a whole new creation. And yet we look at it and we go, oh, man, I look really good in that pink robe. It really matches my eye color. I feel like I should run back to it. Furthermore, we see in Galatians chapter 5, 1 through 6, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be at no value at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace, through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness of which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcised nor uncircumcised has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And what Paul is saying here is that you have done nothing, no circumcised or uncircumcised, no law-abiding citizen has done anything to separate himself from this old flesh. It is through Christ and Christ alone. And if you're trying to live by works, well, then look back at the law, because the law points us that you cannot do it, but he already has. That's what the law is illustrating to us now. The law was put into place to show Israel that they can't do it, but Christ can. And yet we do the same thing. We say, we got to be a good person. We got to do this. And we forget that we have been made free from this and alive in Christ and Christ alone. And we run back to that same thing. We run back to trying to be a good person. We run back and we forget that we've been made free. We forget why the law was there in the first place. It was to point us back to Christ. And Christ has already done it. He's already made us free from who we once were. Moving forward in this passage, we see we are a new creation with a new ambassadorship. So the reason I chose this passage was actually because of this verse. I was talking to Pastor Sid this week, and I said, he goes, do you know what you're going to be preaching on? I go, yeah, of course. I'm going to be preaching on 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I goes, nice. Have you ever preached on it before? I go, yeah, last election year, I preached at my hometown church. I preached on this verse. He goes, oh, cool. What was it about? I said, well, I entitled it, We're No Longer Americans. And he goes, Cecil, I love you and I trust you, but I don't know if that's the best one to start off with. I said, no, Pastor said, that's not what I'm going to do. I'm going to do something a little bit different with this passage. But what Paul tells us here is true. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. What an amazing passage. We are not Americans who are Christians, but we are Christians who are also Americans. We are Christians who are also fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters. We belong to Christ and Christ alone first. And in this world, we represent Christ and Christ alone. And as we represent Christ and Christ alone, we represent this building. We represent who Christ is, who the bride is. We represent our families. We represent America. But it's Christ and Christ alone. And if America wasn't here, we would still be ambassadors of Christ and Christ alone. I think that we have been very, 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 very fortunate. And I want to make that very clear. I love the country we live in. I love it. The freedom that we have. How gorgeous this country is. That we're able to come into this building and congregate and have three services a weekend to express our love and gratitude to Jesus Christ. I love it. But that's not who we are. We are first and foremost ambassadors of Christ. We happen to be in America. We happen to also be Americans. But we belong to Christ and Christ alone. And the Lord has called us forever, whatever side we're on in politics, whatever side that we go with, Christ says, you represent me no matter what. You represent me with every vote that you cast. You represent me with every tax dollar that you pay. It is me who you represent. Not the ideas that you have, but me and me alone. And he calls us to do that. He calls us to use our power. He calls us to use our votes for his glory. And our obligation is to keep our eyes set on him and him alone, no matter what. Y'all, this world is crazy. It is insane. It'll probably get crazier and crazier and crazier. But we belong to him and him alone. We are an ambassador of him and him alone. We are seated in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ at the right hand of our Lord and Savior, of God himself. That's who we belong to. That is who we are. And as Paul said earlier in this passage, that sounds crazy. That sounds insane. But the truth of this is that the Lord has set us free from that and made us alive in him. The truth of that is that we are ambassadors of Christ. We are ambassadors of heaven. And that's who we belong to. And when this world gets crazy and we see injustice, we can say, thank you, Lord, that you have made us free and that we are ambassadors of you and you alone. Moving forward, we are a new creation with a new mission. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though Christ were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We are a new creation with a new mission. Our mission now isn't to make millions of dollars. Our mission now isn't to be everybody's, you know, be the comedian, to do this or to do whatever the case may be. That's not our mission anymore. Our mission is to be in Christ and allow Christ to live his life in and through us. Our mission is to keep our eyes on him and him alone and allow him to use who he has already created for his glory. That might be very rich in this world. That might be to be very poor in this world. That might be that you have no job, that you do have a job, whatever the case may be. Whatever hard circumstances going on in your life, our responsibility in those hard circumstances isn't to lace up our bootstraps and go figure it out. Our responsibility isn't to run over here and say, I got it, but our responsibility, our mission is to keep our eyes focused on him and say, Lord, you do it in and through me. You got me. Isaiah 41:10 states that the Lord uplifts us with his righteous right hand. That is who we are. That is where we are. That is how powerful our God is that we are in his righteous right hand. He's got us. And our mission isn't to even prove that we've been separated from that, because that's what I like to do. I like to run back over here and say, I got a great youth event. I got this, I got that. Oh, I can get so many kids into the youth program. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And Christ says, no, your mission is to keep your eyes on me. I got that. You can't do that, but I can. And so Satan is very deceitful, where we run back to this old flesh and we try to do it for God's glory even. We try to get people in the doors. We try to make this church bigger. We try to make our programs, you know, so much more profitable. And Christ is saying, are you keeping your eyes on me, or are you just trying to get numbers? Are you keeping your eyes on me, or are you trying to get more friends? Are you trying to look better to this world? Are you trying to look better to the people that are sitting amongst you right now? Are you keeping your eyes on me and me alone? And that's hard. It's impossible. But he's already done it for us. And our responsibility is just to keep our eyes set upon him. Next, we're going to be looking at the passage in its entirety. I was looking at the passage in the entirety, and I saw something, and I go, oh my goodness, this is amazing. And that is a new creation with a new family. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciled the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against him, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Y'all, we go through this world, and we say, nobody understands me. Nobody gets my relationship with the Lord. I know I've been separated from this. I know I have died to this, and I'm walking this, and it's hard. Nobody understands me at work. Nobody understands me in my family. My family isn't even saved. I don't know what to do, Lord. And the Lord has said, I have made you a completely new family. And he's saying, look at your brothers, sisters in Christ in this room today and say, I love you. Thank you. Because they understand. They understand what it means to be separated from this world. They understand when the world looks at them and go, you're a complete weirdo. They understand. And Christ is saying, remember that, because I didn't just do it for you. I did it for everyone who's sitting next to you. I've done it for everybody who has put their faith in me and me alone. So start acting like that's your family. Guys, families are complicated. You got moms and dads, brothers and sisters, weirdo cousins off in the corner, aunts and uncles that you're like, oh my goodness. But that's what makes up a family. And every single part of that family has a responsibility. That cousin's responsibility is to be the weirdo. The mom's responsibility is to care for the family. And you are needed in that family, and you are needed here in church today. And the Lord is calling us to be connected with that family, to love that family. It's impossible, y'all. It's impossible to love y'all. Y'all are weird. No, you guys are pretty cool, actually. But the Lord says, I will love them in and through you. I will be gracious to them in and through you. You guys all have a different responsibility, a different calling. So use it and allow me to do that in and through you. You are connected through me and me alone. And that's the only connection that we need, is him and him alone. Growing up, I did not have relatives near me. We were living in Dallas, Texas, as my dad attended DTS, and my grandparents lived about 5 hours away from that when we were in Dallas, and then we moved all the way to Philomath, Oregon. And the nearest family we had was about 13 hours away in Fresno, California. And where I had my grandparents, where I had my brothers and sisters, where I had my aunts and uncles was in a building just like this. Whereas when I was missing my family, I could go and connect on a deep level that nobody else could with men and women. When times got hard and I was feeling homesick and I was like, Lord, I want my cousins to be me. Lord, I want my aunts and uncles to be near me. God says, no, I've given you a family. And yes, that is your family over there. And yes, I'm going to use that for my purpose, but I'm using this family for my purpose as well. And y'all, one of the main reasons I'm up here this morning is because of that family. It's because of that family that showed me Christ through every action that they had. And showed me the world a little bit too, but then ran back to Christ like David did so often. Because when David would dip his toes over in here, he would go run back to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And now we have some great Psalms of where he's apologizing and he's sorry. And that's what your family shows you here. Is A, what it looks like to be in Christ, but B, when they run over here and they're putting this robe on and they're going, don't I look so good? And then they go, oh my goodness, Lord, I am so sorry. And they focus their eyes back on the Lord over here. That's an illustration to each one of us as well. What that looks like, what a faithful mother looks like, what a faithful son looks like, what a faithful husband looks like, that is also found in this room. Because we won't find that out in the world. That's why divorce rates are skyrocketed. That's why kids run away from home. That's why sin is just overrunning our world. It's because they're wallowing in that and they got this on and they're not focusing and relying on Jesus and Jesus alone. Y'all, we are a family who is connected, who is needed, who is loved. And it's a family that's not based on similarities, but founded on Christ and Christ alone. Second Corinthians chapter 6. So we just worked our way through chapter 5. Going into chapter 6, we also see a new something. We also are a new creation with a new job. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. And so he says, you have a new mission, you have a new lens, you have a new ministry, you have a new freedom, you have a new ambassadorship, you have a new family, and now you have a new job. You are his co-workers. So allow his life to be seen in and through you. Connect with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You are needed in that, and you are his co-workers. You go, oh my, Pastor Cecil, I can't. My life's too busy. I got too much going on. You're up here on stage screaming at me. You're stressing me out. I can't. And Christ says, you're right, you can't. You're right. But I can. So focus your eyes on me and allow me to lead in and through you. You're right, it's gonna get hard. You're right, it's gonna sometimes stink. You're right, you might face a little bit of persecution, but I got you. So allow me to live in and through you. Allow me to live my ministry, my life. Allow me to put my lens upon you. Allow me to make you a new family. Allow me to make you free from who you once were. And then lastly, allow me to live like a new creation. We must rely on Jesus so that he can live in and through me. Allow me to do it. Because I gotcha. Galatians 2:20 states, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Allow me to do it. because I got you. To live like a new creation, we must rely on Jesus so that he can live in and through me. Y'all, it is simple to focus our eyes on Jesus and Jesus alone, to rely on him and him alone, so that he may live his life in and through us. To not run back to this old flesh and say, I got it, I can do it, I can make this youth program be crazy, and I can do this, and I can do that. He goes, no, rely on me and me alone, and allow me to work my mission in and through you. Allow me to do it. Because you can't, but I already have. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father, just thank you so much for this time, Lord. Thank you for that mission, for that new lens, for the ministry, for the freedom, the ambassadorship, the family, the job. And thank you first and foremost for doing it in and through us if we simply rely on you and you alone. Lord, we love you. We thank you. And we pray that when times get tough, when life is hard, that we simply focus our eyes on you and you alone to do all things in and through us. Amen.